Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for September 5th, 2024. Thomas Ivy Water Levels Rise After Rains by Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. Recent rains haven't only been beneficial to drought-stricken soil. Two of the reservoirs operated by the Colorado River Municipal Water District saw quite a bit of recharge. According to CRMWD and Texas Water Development Board data, Lake J.B. Thomas and O.H. Ivy Reservoir were each about 33% full Wednesday. On Monday, Thomas was 16.7% full, increasing to 23.9% the following day. Thomas is located southwest of Snyder and northwest of Colorado City. Over the past 7 days, the West Texas Messines Station in Gale, a few miles north of the lake, has recorded 6.58 inches of precipitation. Luvana saw even more, 8.78 inches. The stations in Snyder showed 6.47 inches and 4.91 inches, respectively. Ivy is located west of San Angelo and on Monday was 25.4% full. Its amount of water rose slightly to 27.5% on Tuesday. Looking at 7-day West Texas Messines data, Shields to the reservoirs east saw 5.3 inches of precipitation, as did Dual just south. The station north of San Angelo recorded a whopping 9.95 inches of rain. Wall, just southeast of San Angelo, saw 4.23 inches. E.V. Spence Reservoir was only 13.7% full Wednesday. On Monday, Spence was 13.1% full. CRMWD member sites are Big Spring, Odessa, and Snyder. However, Midland, Abilene, San Angelo, Grand Falls, Stanton, and Millersville Dual Water Supply Corporation are also customers. A city spokesperson told the Reporter Telegram on Wednesday that, on average, 75% of Midland's daily water supply comes from CRMWD. Midland also gets water from the Paul Davis Wellfield located east of Andrews, as well as T-Bar Ranch and Clearwater Ranch, which are in Winkler County. New radio tower enhances communication for Midland County deputies. By B.K. Richter, staff writer, Midland County Sheriff's deputies will soon see an improvement in their internal communication networks due to the finished installation of a radio tower. The Midland County Public Safety Radio Project plans to host an official ribbon cutting at 10 a.m. Thursday at the Greenwood Radio Tower site, 3211 FM 1379 in Midland. Congressman August Pfluger, 11th District of Texas, plans to join the celebration. According to Midland County IT Director Javier Chacon, the Midland side of the joint effort between the City of Odessa and Midland County is up and running now. The project creates a regional network between radio corps for both Midland County and Odessa that benefits first responders during emergencies. Some of the deputies from Midland County have had issues with radio connectivity. These issues will be resolved now with the completion of the tower, Chacon told the Reporter Telegram during an interview Wednesday. The new radio tower in Midland County will aid in creating a much larger system that is open to emergency communication. Currently, both Midland County and Ector County, along with the cities of Midland and Odessa, operate on three different systems. I don't believe that the Ector County side is finished yet, Chacon said. The improved system will not only connect law enforcement, but be able to network all first responders. With one click on the radio, first responders will be able to speak to the Midland Police Department, Midland County Sheriff's Office, or even the Midland Fire Department. Skies are expected to clear up this weekend. By Trevor Hawes, Editorial Director. West Texas saw a ton of rain over the long Labor Day weekend, with a record-setting amount falling at Midland International Air and Spaceport on Monday. Will Midland see relief this weekend? Signs point to yes. We might have an isolated shower or two on Thursday afternoon, but we'll be headed on a drying trend after that. National Weather Service meteorologist Justin Lopez told the Reporter Telegram, rain chances completely drop off Friday, so we'll be back to sunny skies and have highs in the 80s, which is more on par for this time of the year. The Death Ridge, or high-pressure system that parks itself over Texas every summer, hasn't completely broken up, Lopez said, but it's getting pretty beaten up. As winter approaches, disturbances hit against that ridge. It's not completely dead just yet, he said, adding that it's possible West Texas could still see extreme heat at some point. We're not out of the woods yet for triple digits or temperatures in the 90s. We've been surprised in September before, but I would say that we're starting to see the weather turn over into the fall-like conditions we expect. For those concerned about the weather interfering with fun things to do locally, Lopez said not to worry. We should have perfect weather for football and the Permian Basin Fair. There's a 20% chance of rain Thursday and 30% Friday afternoon, with highs in the mid-80s. That temperature outlook will carry through the weekend, and sunny skies are expected for Saturday and Sunday. As of Wednesday, September 4th, NWS has recorded 10.16 inches of NWS had recorded 10.16 inches of precipitation so far this year at MAF, a few points above the normal of 9.54 inches. The American League West leading Astros host the Arizona Diamondbacks starting Friday. There's a 50% chance of storms during the day, with skies clearing up at night and turning sunny for the rest of the weekend. The Texas Rangers continue their homestand Friday when they host the Los Angeles Angels. The weather in Dallas-Fort Worth looks to be pleasant this weekend, with sunny skies and highs in the upper 80s to low 90s. Texas Tech is headed northwest to face the Washington State Cougars in Pullman, Washington, which is under a heat advisory expiring Saturday night. They'll leave behind lovely weather in Lubbock, sunny with highs in the mid-80s. The Texas Longhorns are headed to the Big House in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where it will be partly sunny with a high of 62 degrees. Sunny and in the 90s are in the store back home in Austin on Saturday. Texas A&M plays host to McNeese State. College Station is forecast to reach a high of 88 degrees and sunny skies. Schools hiring more teachers without training. They hope Texas will pay to prepare them. By Jaden Edison, The Texas Tribune. When Texas lawmakers passed legislation in 2015 that created a pathway for public schools to hire more teachers without formal classroom training, one goal was to make the profession more attractive to individuals from different paths who could offer hands-on learning to students. Some school administrators made it clear that intended to place these so-called uncertified teachers in positions where they could leverage their fields of expertise and keep them away from core areas like math, reading, and special education, which would remain under the care of their most seasoned educators. That was before the COVID-19 pandemic, which left many longtime educators worrying about their health and feeling underappreciated, under-resourced, and burned out. They walked out of the classroom in droves, accelerating teacher shortages at a time when students were returning to in-person learning and schools needed them the most. Now some school districts are hiring uncertified teachers, some to provide instruction in core subjects at an extraordinary pace. In almost a decade since the law was passed, the number of uncertified teachers in the state's public schools ballooned by 29%, according to a Texas Tribune analysis of state data. Uncertified teachers, many of whom are located in rural school districts, accounted for roughly 38% of newly hired instructors last year. Some academic experts are dubbing the state's growing reliance on uncertified teachers a crisis. A recent Texas Tech University study highlighted that kids lose 3 to 4 months of learning when they have a new teacher who is both uncertified and lacks experience working in a public school. But with fewer people entering the profession through traditional pipelines, school districts are trying to give uncertified instructors the training and support they need to succeed in the classroom. School officials and education advocates are encouraging them to participate in teacher certification programs, and they hope lawmakers will set aside funds next year to help cover the costs. The ask comes at a time when schools are already starved for a cash infusion. Many districts entered the school year having to spend more money than they are earning, largely because the state's rising cost of living and a half decade of no increases to their base level funding. Public school leaders remain upset that last year's legislative sessions ended with no significant base funding increases despite the state's having a record $32 billion surplus. When you have a state where their coffers are full and local when you have a state where their coffers are full, and local school districts where their coffers are empty or in a process of being empty, you're going to have some state help to make sure that we're funding these types of programs, said Mark Henry, who served as SciFair ISD's superintendent for more than a decade until his retirement last year. A tool to deal with teacher shortages. Prior to the passage of the 2015 law known as District of Innovation, teachers would normally enter the profession through traditional college or university routes, or via alternative certification programs, which are geared toward people who have a bachelor's degree in a different field and need classroom training. Both pathways have been enrollment declines. Both pathways have seen enrollment declines in recent years. The District of Innovation Law was meant to give traditional public schools some of the flexibility that charter schools had long enjoyed, granting them exemptions from mandates on class sizes, school start dates, and certification requirements. Before, uncertified educators in Texas could teach core classes only after obtaining waivers and permits approved by the state education agency on a case-by-case basis. With the District of Innovation Plan, districts can now create a comprehensive educational program that identifies provisions under Texas law that make it difficult for them to reach their goals and offers ways to address those challenges. The plan must receive public input and gain local school board approval before districts can proceed with any exemptions. Many districts have sought an exemption from the state's teacher certification requirements to help combat the teacher shortages. Texas has no statewide definition for what constitutes a teacher shortage, but one major indicator that points to a significant need for more teachers is the state's teacher attrition rate, which tracks the percentage of educators who leave the field in any given year. Since the start of the pandemic, the attrition rate has increased from roughly 9% to 12%, according to the Texas Education Agency. A historic 13.4% of teachers left the profession between fall 2021 and fall 2022. The Texas House of Representatives Public Education Committee held a hearing in August to ask questions and gather information on the causes for the rising number of uncertified teachers and the effect on student outcomes. Lawmakers also discussed what many public education advocates see as a growing lack of respect for teachers, which the advocates say is fueling both the teacher shortage and the rise of uncertified teachers. In recent years, Texas Republican leaders like Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick have routinely criticized public schools and instructors, accusing them of teaching children woke lessons on America's history of systemic racism and keeping in their libraries reading materials that make inappropriate references to gender and sexuality. All the while, Abbott has been pushing for a program that would allow parents to use tax dollars to pay for their children's private education, which public education advocates fear will plummet enrollment in public schools and ultimately result in less funding. School districts receive funding based on their average daily attendance. Getting new teachers ready for the classroom. Educators who testified at last month's legislative hearing also called on lawmakers to direct more financial resources to help teaching candidates go through high-quality preparation programs. One such program in Brazosport ISD helped Amanda Garza McIntyre transition from being an administrative assistant at a construction company to becoming an eighth-grade science teacher at Freeport Intermediate School. McIntyre, who has a bachelor's degree in healthcare administration, knew what Brazosport ISD does for children. The district helped her first-grade daughter learn how to read at grade level over the course of a semester. But starting a new career while raising her five kids seemed overwhelming, and she needed help. The Brazosport ISD program allows aspiring teachers to earn a bachelor's degree, teacher certification, or both at no cost. In return, participants have to work in the district for at least 3 years. The program includes a paid residency that pairs candidates with a teacher mentor who works with them in a classroom for a full school year. Brazosport ISD pays for the program using funds from its own budget, grants, and local partnerships. Thanks to the hands-on training and guidance she received over the last year, which included working with some of the same children in her classroom now, McIntyre started as a full-time teacher earlier this month. I don't know that I would have fully committed to going into teaching without knowing that I had training and that preparedness to walk into a classroom and feel confident, McIntyre said. The task force formed to study the root causes of Texas's teacher shortage, including its recommendations that the state fund certification programs like the one Brazosport ISD is running. Sam Coffer, Chief Operating Officer of Jubilee Academies, a San Antonio-based charter school district, said it makes sense for the legislature to help fund programs like Brazosport ISD's, but argued that certification is not the only way to increase the number of capable teachers in Texas classrooms.
This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, September 5th. Coach returns home to Reagan. Starting his 43rd year in education, Michael Neiman is back where he feels most comfortable, PE teacher at Reagan Elementary School. This is the start of his second year at Reagan. He's also been at Odessa College, in athletics administration for Ector County ISD, and at First Odessa Christian Academy. Of all of them, the PE job at Reagan is his favorite, and he's gotten to do it twice. In the last 10 years, it has opened up four times. Neiman got a chance to go back to Reagan when he attended a retirement party for one of the teachers, and someone asked him if he was going to apply for the PE position. Principal Jennifer Bizzell said he should come in and visit about it, so he went back home and realized he wanted to put his hat in the ring. Before he knew it, he was signing papers. "I just love that job," Neiman said. "There's no place in town like this in the district. There just isn't. It's perfect. It's a great place to teach." He sees every single pre-kindergarten through fifth grade student at Reagan every day. Six classes a day, and they're 45 minutes apiece, except for the pre-K. It's 30 minutes, so there's not much time in the day for anything else. "I enjoy it as much as the kids do, maybe more," Neiman said. At the start of school, they have class indoors because it's still hot outside. For the next 6 weeks, they go outside, which takes them through October, and then they come inside for November through February and back outside for March through May. The first unit is gymnastics. "It's part of our after-school program. The kids are training for their upcoming meets, so it's just a good time to do it, and it's so hot out there," Neiman said. He has backup lessons for all the units just in case. "There's some things that work better outside, football, soccer, t-ball. We can still play games inside that use those same skills," Neiman said. All the units have a progressional list of skills. Everything they do is based on that. He has put them online as well. Students may find things they like better than the unit being offered, but they have to do the lesson first before they can do what they like. Once the lesson gets started, that's when things start moving around. The kids are on different levels, so they can go check where they're at and move on to the next one. If they need help, they can ask somebody. "Our goal is to have every single kid active the whole 45 minutes. It doesn't always work out, but that's kind of our goal," he said. Playing with the kids and watching them improve is what Neiman said he enjoys most about his job. He was inspired to go into the field from a teacher he had growing up in Minnesota. "With this broken down progression of skills list, there are very, very small increments between each skill. So a kid can come to class and have numerous successes because all they have to do is match this really small little skill. Then the next skill is just a little bit different, a little addition to it, which they can easily get so they can leave there having multiple successes," he added. "This is a way to keep students engaged so they stay interested and can't wait to come back the next day." He also lets the students choose what they want to do after they finish the lesson. He may have a basketball unit, but adds things like yo-yos, tops, and badminton activities. I can get 100% participation here because I believe they have so many choices. They've got to learn it all, but there are times toward the end where they get to play what they want and they just love that, Neiman said. When he is not in school in the summer, he likes to build things out of wood, run, and bike. He finished a pavilion this summer in his backyard. I'm a fidgeter. I like to get things done with my hands. I have a little shop I can just mess around in, Neiman said. He and his wife, Leslie, a reading specialist at Midland Classical Academy, have two sons, one of whom passed away in 2018. A native of Park Rapids, Minnesota, Neiman earned a bachelor's degree from Morehead State in Morehead, Minnesota. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame for Morehead State Athletics in 2018 as a men's track cross-country runner. He was inspired to go into PE by his own teacher, Andy McCarty, who he said was phenomenal. Neiman's motto is, "You're only as young as you play." I tell the kids that all the time. You should be playing your whole life. Find something you like to do. It doesn't have to be a competitive sport. Go out and play. My goal is to get them to want to play the rest of their lives, Neiman said. Bazil said Coach Neiman brings back a tradition of excellence for Reagan. He creates centers that meet all students' needs. Students, staff, and parents really respect him. To get students' attention, all he has to do is take a knee and they follow. We are so fortunate that he chose to come back, she said. Food Bank UTPB partner for Hunger Action Month with special peanut butter drive. The West Texas Food Bank has announced a special partnership with the University of Texas Permian Basin in honor of Hunger Action Month as part of the campaign to raise awareness and fight hunger in the community. They are inviting fans and supporters to join them at the UTPB football tailgate next Saturday at Astound Broadband Stadium at 3 p.m. September 14th. The Falcon Walk begins at 4 p.m. at the stadium. Fans are encouraged to bring jars of peanut butter to the tailgate, which will be donated to the West Texas Food Bank to help families in need across the region, a news release said. Peanut butter is a highly requested item due to its nutritional value and long shelf life. Why peanut butter? Peanut butter is a protein-rich food that is shelf-stable and can be used in a variety of ways, making it an essential item in the food bank. Every jar donated will go directly to helping those in need in the West Texas community, the release said. Rain continues to soak Odessa. Even more rain had fallen in Odessa and at Midland Air and Spaceport over the past 24 hours, possibly bringing to mind Noah's Ark. The National Weather Service reported that 0.15 inches fell at the airport and 0.20 inches in Odessa. Roads were overflowing in spots with rain. Justin Lopez, a forecaster with the National Weather Service, said patchy fog was expected to continue at least until early afternoon Wednesday, and the rain was expected to come to an end by the afternoon hours, especially toward evening. The afternoon was expected to feature mostly cloudy skies with peaks of sun every once in a while. It was predicted to be 76 degrees Wednesday, and there was still a potential for off-and-on showers Wednesday morning. The showers were expected to be very light. "We are expecting shower activity to really taper on down," Lopez said. "It's already looking pretty calm now. There was a very light shower in northern Ector County, but that was expected to fade away too. Drying out and warming up was expected on Thursday, along with a high of 83 degrees, Lopez said. "There might be an isolated shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon, a 20% chance, otherwise mostly sunny skies." Air traffic hasn't been significantly affected by the recent rain, Lopez said. The Permian Basin chapter of the American Red Cross Shelter at Refuge Ministries, 1211 East 57th Street, Odessa, is still open and on standby for anyone who may need a safe place to stay. Currently, they don't have a closing date. As they continue to monitor the rain, the community can still call at 1-800-RED-CROSS for assistance. Brian Curran, Science and Operations Officer at the National Weather Service in Midland, said September 3rd that there was a pattern set up for very heavy rainfall. This pattern is unusual as the area usually gets hit or miss rain or thunderstorms. We had a pattern set up where it was favorable with a cold front coming down, abundant moisture coming up from the Gulf, and an upper-level low that right now is sitting over near Monahans, Curran said. This is what he called a stratiform rain, and it's somewhat unusual for this time of year. Curran said it usually occurs in the October-November timeframe. According to the National Weather Service webcam, precipitation in general is relatively continuous and uniform in intensity. For example, steady rain versus rain showers. These occur between the active convective bands of a hurricane outside of the eye wall. According to the Hydrologic Engineering Center website, convective rainfall occurs when warm, moist air rises into the atmosphere and condenses into rain. It's caused by the sun heating the Earth's surface, which in turn warms the air above it. As the air rises, it expands and cools, which causes condensation and the formation of clouds. Household hazardous waste will be closed again due to weather conditions. The City of Midland reports that all low water crossing gates are again open. Enroll in the Texas Tuition Promise Fund before November 1st and save. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hegger reminds families that enrollment in the Texas Tuition Promise Fund, the state's prepaid college tuition plan, begin September 1st and runs through February 28, 2025. The Texas Tuition Promise Fund offers parents and loved ones the chance to prepay a child's future undergraduate resident tuition and school-wide required fees at Texas public colleges and universities at today's prices, excluding medical and dental schools. The $25 application fee to enroll in the plan will be waived for September and October enrollments. Enrollments by mail must be postmarked by October 23, 2024. As families all over Texas embark on a new school year, now is the perfect time to think about the Texas Tuition Promise Fund, which gives families an additional tool to help plan for their children's future education, Hegger said in a news release. Planning today is a good way to put your child on a path of a college education. The sooner you start, the more affordable it could be. Participation is the plan purchase tuition units that can be used later toward undergraduate, resident tuition, and school-wide required fees at Texas public colleges and universities, excluding medical and dental schools. Prices are based on 2024-25 academic year cost for the state's public colleges and universities. Type 1 tuition units, priced by undergraduate resident tuition and school-wide required fees at the most expensive Texas public four-year university or college, cost $164.92 per unit. Type 2 tuition units, based on the weighted average cost of undergraduate resident tuition and school-wide required fees across Texas public four-year universities and college, cost $115.75 per unit. Type 3 tuition units, based on the weighted average cost of in-district tuition and school-wide required fees across Texas public two-year community college, cost $31.58 per unit. Under the plan, 100 tuition units equal roughly one academic year consisting of 30 semester hours of undergraduate, resident tuition, and school-wide required fees at the Texas public school that most closely matches the tuition unit's pricing base. Participants can purchase up to 600 Type 1 tuition units, approximately 6 academic years, or the dollar equivalent of Type 2 or Type 3 tuition units. The plan has flexible payment options with each contract, including lump sum payments, installment payments that include a 6% interest charge, or pay-as-you-go payments. The pay-as-you-go payment option enables participants to gradually add more tuition units as the family budget allows, based on tuition unit prices at the time of purchase. Enrollment in a pay-as-you-go contract requires purchase of at least one tuition unit of any type. Future payments can be as low as $15. An online calculator provides pricing estimates on the type and number of tuition units currently needed for any 2 to 4 year Texas public college or university. For more information about this prepaid college tuition plan, including Texas residency requirements and how the plan's transfer value can be used at medical and dental schools, private and out-of-state colleges and universities, career schools, and registered apprenticeship programs, go to tuitionpromise.org or call 800-445-GRAD, which is 4723, option 5. The plan's outreach team offers free webinars to provide an overview of the plan and discuss the different tuition unit types and payment options, as well as provide information about the unique Texas Match, the Promise Foundation scholarship opportunities. Go to the Texas Tuition Promise Fund website to register to attend upcoming webinars. The next webinar is September 11th. Residency restrictions, age requirements, eligibility criteria, household income restrictions, and contribution requirements apply. Pfluger to hold coffee with a congressman in Odessa. Congressman August Pfluger, Texas 11, will host Coffee with Congressman Pfluger from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. September 6th at Los Toxicos Cantina, 902 North County Road West in Odessa. Prosperity Bank, City of Odessa, postponed 22nd Annual American Tribute. Due to heavy rainfall and high waters at Memorial Gardens Park, Prosperity Bank and the City of Odessa have postponed the upcoming American Tribute Flag Field event. The event will now take place on Wednesday, September 11th at 6 p.m. at Memorial Gardens Park. It is an honor for us to pay tribute to the victims of September 11th, 2001, and to recognize our first responders, Mike Marshall, West Texas Chairman of Prosperity Bank, said in a news release. We are grateful to the City of Odessa for their partnership in this event and to the numerous volunteers who help us place flags. The public is invited to help place flags and honor the lives lost 23 years ago. Obituaries. Olive McElwee Obituary. Olive Houghton McElwee passed away Tuesday, August 27th in Provo, Utah. She was born in Kanab, Utah on November 21st, 1942 to Charles Leonard and Edna Hoyt Robertson Heaton. Olive's family, faith, and friends were very important to her. Funeral service will be held at the Kaibab Ward Chapel in Moccasin, Arizona on Saturday, September 7th, 10:30 Arizona time. Interment will be in the Moccasin Cemetery. Sharon K. Mireles, Commander. Sharon K. Commander Mireles, 69, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 31st in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 5 p.m. September 20th in Northside Baptist Church. Clyde Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Home. James Curtis Thomas. James Curtis Thomas, 72, entered into the presence of his Lord and Savior. A private family graveside service will be held on Thursday, September 5th at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery in Midland, with the Reverend Jim Bill Billett officiating. A public visitation celebrating his life will be held at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home on Wednesday, September 4th from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. TEA awards straight A's to Harmony Public Schools in financial accountability. All seven Harmony Public School districts received superior A-plus scores from the Texas Education Agency on the agency's annual first financial accountability ratings, the TEA announced. Created by the 77th Texas Legislature in 2001, the School Financial Integrity Rating System of Texas, FIRST, is designed to encourage public schools to better manage their financial resources to provide the maximum allocation possible for direct instructional purposes. The FIRST ratings are calculated using 15 financial indicators, such as administrative cost expenditures, the accuracy of a district or charter's financial information submitted to TEA, and any financial vulnerabilities or material weaknesses in internal controls as determined by an external auditor. Harmony's district-by-district scores are Harmony Public Schools, Central Texas, Austin, Pflugerville, Cedar Park, 100, Harmony Public Schools, Houston North, Houston, Bryan, Cypress, North Katy, 100. Harmony Public Schools, Houston South, Houston, 96. Harmony Public Schools, Houston West, Houston, South Katy, Sugarland, Beaumont, 100. Harmony Public Schools, North Texas Greater, DFW, Waco, 96. Harmony Public Schools, South Texas, San Antonio, Laredo, Brownsville, 96. Harmony Public Schools, West Texas, El Paso, Lubbock, Midland, Odessa, 100. To ensure effective, efficient, and ethical use of all public funds entrusted to it, Harmony practices a number of financial safeguards as part of its regular operations. Among those are regular, independent financial audits from third-party accounting firms and regular participation in its purchasing process from the Texas Association of School Business Officials, TASBO. In January 2024, Harmony became the first Texas charter school to earn TASBO's prestigious Award of Excellence in Financial Management. Harmony was also the first charter public to win TASBO's Award of Merit for purchasing operations. AFP Permian Basin announces National Day of Philanthropy 2024 award recipients celebrates 30th anniversary. The Permian Basin chapter of the Association of Fundraising Professionals, AFP-PB, is proud to announce the 30th annual National Philanthropy Day Luncheon and Awards Ceremony. This prestigious event will take place on November 14th at the Petroleum Club of Midland, where the local chapter will once again celebrate the spirit of generosity and community giving that defines the Permian Basin. In recognition of this milestone anniversary, the chapter will also honor past recipients who have inspired others through their exemplary contributions over the years. AFP-PB is pleased to present the 2024 honorees: Outstanding Philanthropic Family, the Davenport Family, Elizabeth and Bob Davenport Jr., Elizabeth and Hill Davenport, Isabel and Adam Davenport, Callie and Trey Fuqua. Outstanding Philanthropic Foundation, the J.C. Ferguson Foundation. Outstanding Philanthropic Business, Frost Bank. Outstanding Philanthropic Organization, Serve Midland. Outstanding Volunteer Fundraiser, Lauren Black Ketter. Outstanding Youth in Philanthropy, Midland High School Football Team. Outstanding Fundraising Professional, Craig Stoker. Lifetime Achievement in Philanthropy, Terry and Jack Wilkinson. If you would like to become an event sponsor and show your appreciation for all that has been accomplished in the name of philanthropy in our community, please email afppb.mail@gmail.com by October 1st. Event sponsors will receive a reserved table for 8 and recognition in the event invitation, program, signage, social media, and AFP Permian Basin website. Downtown Odessa comes alive with First Friday ODTX. The September First Friday ODTX is scheduled 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, September 6th, with an evening of lively entertainment, arts, and community spirit in downtown Odessa and surrounding areas. Immerse yourself in the vibrant atmosphere with live music, bustling vendor markets, and various special activities. This month's edition will feature a captivating art gallery, engaging craft opportunities, and several unique vendors, making it a perfect outing for family and friends. Support local businesses and enjoy the dynamic ambiance that has made First Friday ODTX a beloved monthly celebration. Odessa Arts Booth Giveaways. Spend $20 or more at any local shop, restaurant, or vendor during the event hours, and show your receipt at the Odessa Arts and Downtown Odessa booth at Homemade Wines to receive a free t-shirt. Additionally, fill out a survey to receive a free deck of Basin 52 cards and pick up free First Friday ODTX coloring sheets designed by local artist Sarah Scholl. Vendor Markets, 4th and Jackson. Vendor market featuring Texas Permian Future Generations, Pucker Up Lemonades, Sam's Club, Clamato's Los Gachos, Skull and Cross Beans Mobile Brew, Love One Another Soaps, Bathhouse Apothecary, Arcane Jewelry, Anna James Brewing Company, Beer Wagon, Muda Cookies, Sweet Traveler Patissiere, West Texas Candy, and more. Copper Rose Market, 415 North Grant Avenue. Local vendor market featuring more than 16 vendors. Sacrificial Needle, 1500 North Grant Avenue. This event will feature a local vendor market, live art demonstrations, and specials on tattoos and piercings. The Downtown Venue, 515 North Grant Avenue, Two Purple Llamas Market is hosting a vendor market featuring a variety of local businesses. In addition, there will be a pumpkin painting station for attendees to enjoy. They are doing a Stock the Classroom drive to support Ector County ISD teachers. Attendees can bring new school supplies and items to decorate. Art Galleries, UTPB Arts Department, 3991 UTPB Circle. Echoes of Eternity, Mastery of Ancient Mesoamerican Art Reception at the Nancy Fife Cardozier Gallery and Sculpture Garden. UTPB Campus from 5 to 7 p.m. Participating Businesses, Copper Rose Building, 415 North Grant Avenue. The Craft Shop, choose from over 100 cup wraps and over 10 different cups, cost to participate. Warp Zone First Anniversary Party. Giveaways happening all night and a chance to win a discount by finding Waldo around the store. Copper Key Gifts, 501 North Grant Avenue, open for extended hours. Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street. Visit the library from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for National Read a Book Day and Veteran Story Time. Flair Taverna, 2701 John Ben Shepherd Parkway, live music from Black Gold. Homemade Wines, 400 North Texas Avenue. XLER will host a free paint and sip craft. A local artist will lead the class. Drink tickets are available on a first-come, first-served basis to participants aged 21 and over. Joanne's on 5th Flowers, 610 West 5th Street. DIY Floral Arrangements. M. Elemental Therapeutics, 419 North Jackson Avenue. Free 5-minute massages and coupons for free hot stone add-ons to massages booked for September. Marriott Odessa, 305 East 5th Street. Street food from Beryl and Derek. McJack General Store, 411 North Grant Avenue. Free face painting. Odessa Arts, homemade wines. Membership table with exciting giveaways. Spend $20 or more at a local business to receive a yellow First Friday t-shirt. Fill out an arts and culture economic survey for a free deck of Basin 52 cards. Pick up free First Friday ODTX coloring sheets designed by local artist Sarah Scholl. Plus, Odessa Arts will have coupons for half-off drinks at Scooters. Odessa College Green Space, corner of East 4th Street and North Jackson Avenue, live music, food trucks, and yard games. Patrick Clay's Tavern, 418 North Grant, $30 tattoos at Evil Ink Tattoos. Scooter's Coffee, 801 North Grant Avenue. Half off any drink with a coupon. Coupons can be picked up at the Odessa Arts Table or on Odessa Arts Facebook page on Friday, September 6th. Skalicki Ballet, 118 East 8th Street, free 30-minute ballet class from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Starbucks Downtown, 305 East 5th Street, free typewriter poetry by Candace Harding. Torchy's Tacos, 306 East 5th Street. Arrest made in shooting incident. A 28-year-old Odessa man accused of sideswiping a motorist and opening fire on her and a passenger was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, the 25-year-old woman told deputies she was driving south on Comanche near West 42nd Street when a van tried to pass her while traveling at a high rate of speed and sideswiped her Chevrolet Cavalier. At the same time, the woman said she heard 3 to 6 shots fired, and her passenger, 23, said he heard 3 shots, the report stated. When she got to West 39th Street, the woman told deputies the driver of the van stopped, got out, and pointed a gun at them. After she sped past him, she said the driver passed her again at a high rate of speed and then stopped at West University and flashed the firearm in his waistband at them. Deputies identified the driver of the van as Samuel Perez Camacho, and they found a firearm and magazine in his glove box. According to the report, the magazine was missing 3 rounds, and 3 spent casings were found in the side pocket of the driver's side door. Perez Camacho was released from the Ector County Jail Wednesday after posting surety bonds totaling $100,000. ECISD hosting dropout recovery walks. ECISD will host the first of 3 dropout recovery walks Thursday with the goal of raising awareness and supporting the efforts to get students re-enrolled and back on track toward high school graduation. Teams from Ector County ISD will be knocking on doors to visit with students and families, while others will be standing by at various locations. Tomorrow, September 5th, the location will be the Music City Mall between the hours of 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Volunteers will be available to help guide students through the re-enrollment process. A second event will be held Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at ECISD's Community Outreach Center, and a third is scheduled for 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. September 12th at Odessa College's Salisbury Campus Center. Information also will be on the ECISD Facebook page.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Times. Freda Turner Durham Children's Museum inspires creativity with works of art classes by Paige Wagonet. September 4th, 2024. Freda Turner Durham Children's Museum is a vibrant hub of creativity and learning, offering a variety of classes and events that engage both children and their families. One of the most popular offerings is the Works of Art class, held four times a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. in the museum's Chevron Marker Space. These sessions are free with admission and are designed for children ages 4 and up, though parents are also welcome to participate when space allows. Education Manager Rui Garcia emphasized the importance of these classes in nurturing young minds. These brief art sessions encourage creativity and curiosity by introducing various art techniques and materials, giving participants a fun and engaging exploration of the arts, she said. The classes provide an accessible and enjoyable way for children to delve into visual arts, laying a foundation for a lifelong appreciation of creativity. Attendance at these sessions varies, with most classes attracting around 15 to 20 participants, though the numbers can fluctuate depending on the time of year and the specific art activities being offered. Garcia notes that the museum encourages regular participation as yearly activities cover a broad spectrum of artistic techniques. We encourage participants to attend regularly to experience a wide variety of activities throughout the year, Garcia said. During the summer and winter breaks, we offer specialized workshops that focus on particular art forms or mediums, such as sculpture and mosaics, like the ones we hosted in June and July. In addition to the Works of Art classes, the Durham Children's Museum offers more engaging programs for kids. The Mommy and Me class, held once a month, is a favorite among families with younger children, while the Works of STEM classes, available on Wednesdays and Fridays at 4 p.m. during the school year, blend creativity with science and technology. Garcia is particularly excited about the museum's upcoming Septemberfest, the museum's largest annual fundraiser, taking place from September 21st through the 23rd. She encourages the community to participate as the funds raised directly support the museum's educational programs and initiatives. Join us for Septemberfest, our biggest annual fundraiser, she said. Tickets are available for purchase online at museumsw.org. With its diverse offerings, the Durham Children's Museum continues to be a cornerstone of education and creativity in the community. Tall City Brewing Invitational Craft Beer Extravaganza returns to West Texas. The Tall City Brewing Invitational is back for its third year, and it promises to be bigger and better than ever. Scheduled for September 7th, this one-of-a-kind event will feature over 100 beers from more than 20 breweries, making it a must-attend for craft beer enthusiasts and casuals alike. Taking place at Tall City Brewing in Midland, Texas, the event will run from 3 to 7 p.m., with VIP ticket holders gaining early access at 2 p.m. Stephen Alexander, sales and marketing director at Tall City Brewing, shared the vision behind the event. When we had this idea to build a brewery, we didn't set out to simply have a place for people to drink delicious beer. We wanted to cultivate community within our own region and with the craft beer industry. Because of awesome brewery friends, we were able to see this come to fruition at the Tall City Invitational. It's inspiring to see all of us come together to spread the love of craft beer, said Alexander. The Invitational goes beyond just showcasing beer. It's a celebration of Midland, Tall City Brewing, and the entire craft beer community, according to Alexander. The event brings together breweries, owners, and staff, creating a unique atmosphere where they can share the best beers and foster a sense of camaraderie. Attendees can expect an intimate atmosphere with a crowd of 300 to 500 people anticipated throughout the event. Throughout the event, this setting allows for more interaction between guests and the brewery staff to enhance the overall experience. We wanted to keep it intimate and give people who are coming more time to interact with the staff from these breweries, Alexander noted. The event is known to attract attendees from all over West Texas, eastern New Mexico, Dallas, and the Panhandle. It brings together a diverse crowd from beer enthusiasts to those simply looking for a fun time, making it a truly special gathering. This year's theme, the Great Marathon, plays on the West Texas wildlife theme that Tall City Brewing incorporates into each invitational. The Chaparral, also known as the Roadrunner, takes center stage with the fun fact that a group of roadrunners is called a marathon. For those who prefer something other than beer, the festival offers options like Chateau Wright Winery from Fort Davis and Cider from High Cider. Additionally, VIP attendees will have access to exclusive brews available only during the VIP hour. This is a craft beer celebration in West Texas, music, vendors, and food trucks. With over 100 beers available, this invitational highlights some of the best craft beer in the state and region. This is also an opportunity to find and taste some of the rarest craft beer in Texas and the nation, Alexander concluded. As a new addition to the Brew City, Texas program, Midland joins the ranks of cities committed to the advancement of independent beer. The Tall City Brewing Invitational is not just an event, but a movement that has earned Midland and West Texas its spot on the craft beer map. Chevron's Permian portfolio benefits from legacy assets. By Mela McEwen, oil editor. Chevron executives are frequently asked to discuss the increase of its Permian Basin volumes from less than 100,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day in 2015 to an expected 1 million barrels by the end of 2025. The growth was the subject of a presentation by Chevron chief executive Mike Wirth and an Intercom Denver conference last month. Already, the company produced a record 840,000 barrels of oil equivalent in the second quarter of 2024 and just raised its production guidance to 940,000 barrels per day at the end of the year. That's well on the way to meeting its goal of more than 1 million barrels by the end of next year. The credit goes to Chevron's employees, said Ryder Booth, Chevron's vice president, Mid-Continent Business Unit. I'm sincere when I say it's our employees delivering on our objectives and continuing to innovate, he told Reporter Telegram. They love what they do. They really believe energy enables human progress and improves quality of life. Booth said he is constantly amazed at the innovation of the employees, not only by how they innovate internally with each other, but also with other companies across the Permian. He said one focus is on improving cycle times, and Chevron has seen improvements in cycle times this year. The company also implemented Trimalfax, fracturing three wells with one frac spread, where applicable, he said. Chevron also recently completed what Booth called a J-hook lateral, smaller than a traditional lateral and a design specific to how the acreage was laid out. Much of the output growth in 2024 has come from Chevron's legacy assets and improvements in overall base production, with wells having higher reliability and lower decline rates. Our development activity on our legacy assets gets more and more efficient with each quarter. Our most active drilling is on legacy acreage, Booth said. Chevron has more than 2 million net acres in the Permian Basin, weighted more toward the Delaware Basin than the Midland Basin, and has an active development program in the Midland Basin and southern Delaware Basin. Booth estimated 50% of Chevron's capital will be deployed in the Permian over the next few years. Booth called that large footprint wide and diverse, and both its operated activity and non-operated joint ventures give Chevron insight into the region and its various benches. While it has been active drilling the Wolfcamp and Spraberry, Booth said it is looking at other benches, including the Barnett Shale and Avalon, often with joint venture partners. We do have a list of what's next, Booth said. We're measured in how we deploy technology in a stable, balanced factor approach. He said he does expect Chevron and other energy companies to continue gaining efficiencies for some time. There will also be future breakthroughs, he predicted. Chevron's growth has been remarkable. It has been measured. We want to be as capital and operationally efficient as possible as stewards of our assets and as investors. We want to increase production to help meet the growing demand for energy in the world, he said.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.